This week's podcast is brought to you by painoutsidethebox.com. Pain Outside the Box is a coaching and educational venture on TMS and neuroplastic pain. Miriam Gauci Bongiovanni, the founder, is a coach and a mind-body practitioner who offers specialized one-on-one coaching as well as self-paced virtual programs designed to get people out of chronic pain. Her latest program, called Pain-Free Breakthrough, is a transformational training consisting of videos, readings, meditations, and other tools aimed at chronic pain recovery. The program will get you to implement TMS knowledge into practice, and it includes an editable workbook where you'll be able to journal, track your progress, and do the inner work. Check out her website at www.painoutsidethebox.com. Welcome to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein. It is Thursday, November the 18th. And before we get started, I want to make sure that I thank the patrons of the podcast. There's actually two new patrons of the podcast. Shout out to Dominic and Sasha. Thank you so much for jumping on. And if you're interested in contributing monetarily, go to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast. So Dominic and Sasha and Sylvie, James, John, Brooke, Jason, Colette, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Francisco, Michael, Victoria, Anthony, Jen, and Nate, Christina, Ross, Julie, Brian, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast. Honestly means the world. So today's podcast is going to be a follow-up from a couple of weeks ago or a few weeks ago. I was doing some questions on the podcast page. And if you're interested in joining that, kind of joining the conversation and being able to have access into these types of Q&As and make a contribution and tell me what it is that you want me to talk about, you can find us on Facebook. It is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Deleters of Pain is the name of the group. But I had set out, hey, what are some things you want to hear me talk about on the podcast? And there was a bunch of suggestions and I went through and I talked about those. And then Barb, who was the guest last week, had said, hey, what about talking about the daily reminders and giving us Eddie's commentary? So that is what I did. So I'm just going to follow up from, because there were quite a few posts after this. So I want to address those and that's kind of how we'll treat today. We'll treat it as a, AMA, ask me anything, continuation, from the last time. So we're going to get back to the questions that that people had posed, or at least the topics that they had posed. So this one comes from Pamela. Fear with everything going on in the world today. So I'm assuming there's a lot, right? There's political unrest. There is COVID restrictions. There is sort of infighting back and forth between different people on different sides of the aisle. And so and there's a lot more than that, honestly. As you can imagine, debates about all sorts of different things. So with fear overall, I think that it's just one of those things where we have to sort of understand what is it that we actually have control over, and what is it that we have influence over. And I think when you can narrow it down in that way, it's not a whole heck of a lot. We're essentially powerless in a lot of things. And some people will take an element of powerlessness and they'll really have it work against them. It will really kick their ass. And that's not the place to be. That's not ultimately what's going to get you to be able to kind of move forward with all of this kind of stuff. So if you can just sit back, and I've talked about levels of indifference for a long time, but if you can sit back with a level of indifference to things that are going on in the world to be fearful of and just say, well, whatever happens, happens, I think would really play to your advantage. I relate it to, and I've told this story before, but I would relate it to me overcoming the incredible fear of like commercial flying, where forever and ever it would be, hey, planes taking off, what if it crashes? Planes landing, what if it crashes? Planes in midair, what if it crashes? And ultimately, I remember being in an ice storm in Dallas and there was a lot of turbulence and I had just sort of imagined myself outstretching my arms and saying, well, if I die, I die. And that's just the way it is. I can't stop the plane if it starts going down. That indifference, it was literally like a light switch went on. And I kid you not, it was like a light switch went on and I didn't have that issue anymore. I wouldn't get the visceral response. I wouldn't get the sweating in the palms. I wouldn't get the shaking. It was all done. It was just that simple being able to have a level of indifference to it. So, Pamela, that's what I would say about fear with everything going on in the world today, as I would say that. From Matt, posture importance with TMS pain, posture and form when weight training. Would love to hear your views on all this type of common theme with TMS and healing. Reducing pain is often about the opposite and allowing your body to relax and be at one with imperfections, asymmetries, and so on. As a weightlifter yourself, it would be fascinating. So Sarno says in one of his books, and I feel like it was in Healing Back Pain, where he talks about if a weight is too tough to lift, you just simply won't be able to lift it. Or if it's too heavy to lift to where you could get hurt, you simply wouldn't be able to lift it. That really changed a lot of kind of how I saw the human body, was that statement right there. Because it is true. And in weight training, if you... maybe you do lift too heavy of a weight. Like if you're going for a deadlift PR, a deadlift max, and your form kind of sucks, because it's sort of like with max attempts or with PR attempts, it's kind of like not all bets are off in terms of form, but very, very close to all bets are off in terms of form. And you may feel a twinge or you may be extra sore for a couple of days, but that should really be it. It would be incredibly hard. Like here's the exercise I would like you to go do. Next time you're at the grocery store, go to just go to the meat department and look at the thickness of one of the steaks that are back there. Grab that steak, go buy that steak, go home and try and tear or damage that steak with your bare hands with as much force as you can exert, or even dropping a barbell on it or dropping a kettlebell on it. And you'll see there's not really any sort of a structural change that's going to happen, right? There's not really an injury that can occur. That's in a lot of ways how I see injuries when it relates to weight training. Now, when I miss a weight, it is 100% of the time because of a lack of confidence in me being able to lift that weight. For instance, if I'm going for a clean and jerk, and a clean is when you're taking the bar from the ground, you're bringing it up to your hips, you're cleaning it, and then you're standing straight up, and then you have to get it over your head. A lot of times, it's very rare that I will fail a clean if I can get under it. As long as I can get under it, I'll be able to stand up. But a lot of times, I will pull it to my hips. Not a lot of times. If I miss the lift, it's because I pulled it to my hips and I just stopped. I didn't even attempt it because I just felt fearful about what would happen, or the confidence in being able to actually stand it up or do the lift or whatever. But yeah, that's a lot of how I see this kind of stuff, is just in posture, form, weight training. Somebody actually messaged me on Instagram the other day and asked me about posture. They saw a TMS doctor. The TMS doctor said, hey, what you have is TMS. And then asked me about how much posture comes into the equation when it comes to pain. And I had said, just simply put, posture is a bunch of bullshit, is totally how I see it. So I believe that bad posture can exist. I do not believe that bad posture can be the root of chronic pain or continuation of chronic pain. So I think that even if you look at people that are elderly and maybe their posture is poor, I bet it would be 50-50, and most likely not having a chronic back issue. But ultimately, we just know that posture just doesn't lead. And Sarno's talked about this in his book. In fact, posture muscles in a large part are places where people actually get pain. If anything posture related is in this conversation, it would just simply be the slouching and the walking with your head down and that kind of thing is far more to do like psychologically with like a confidence issue as opposed to anything that would be giving you pain. And as it pertains to weight training, I think that good form is important, but I think that good form is only most important because I think it gives you the best leverage points to be able to lift the most weight. I think that's the biggest key of it. Like as an example, lifting form is something that I've been working on and trying to refine for about 10 years now. And I recently had changed, this is going to be so boring for many of you. I recently changed the width of my pulling stance where my feet are much closer together now. And the idea is that I'm being able to get more torque on my legs or more torque on my knees by pointing them outward diagonally. So that was the whole idea, is that I can have my knees sort of at like a 20 to 30 degree angle by having my feet closer together. And that's really all that I mean in terms of posture or form are things like that, because I think that it gives me the best chance to have a much stronger pull. So Matt, I would encourage you, if this is the stuff that you're interested in, send me an email and maybe I go into a little bit more detail in a future episode if people didn't already turn off this podcast because they thought it was so boring. Brian asks, when did it all click for you? And was it a smooth ride to healing once you understood TMS, or was it up and down? Definitely up and down. I was all in on the concept the day that I opened the book and started reading Sarno's book. I was certainly all in. However, I think that I had an initial huge chunk of pain go away. Let's say 40%, maybe even 60%. And I was at the gym the following Monday. However, when it didn't go away 100%, you know, a couple months later, go and see a physical therapist. They can't find anything. Okay, then we sort of restart this thing. And it kind of kept, you know, it went on a little bit like that. 6 or 9 months would go by. And I thought, oh, maybe it is this one muscle, and go and be seen for it. But ultimately, it obviously wasn't the answer. So I think for me, it just all clicked when I was able to just do all the things that I was doing before all of the pain, and I could really be indifferent to it. And just sort of, I hate to use something as without a backbone as belief, but that's really such a big component of this, because I think that belief really lends itself to confidence, and it's just being able to have confidence / indifference to any sort of symptoms. And now I think I have a much better understanding of if there are symptoms or if there's some kind of issues going on, that I don't attribute it to a particular problem in the body. I get delayed onset muscle soreness, which is DOMS, after training or after going through a rough cycle or something along those lines, or something particularly taxing that I'm doing. Like I did this monster hike. So I did a bunch of off-road motorcycling. This was back at the end of May. And we did a bunch of off-roading, which in itself is kind of taxing. But then we did, it was like a 16 or a 17-mile round-trip hike, which was way more than any hike I've ever done. I got home, and my body hurt. And it hurt more than I can ever remember, just a level of exhaustion like I can't even fully describe. And I was exhausted clear into the next day. But ultimately, just having an understanding that, you know, this is just the way that it is. But then when my body just feels run down, maybe after I didn't do a 17-mile round trip hike, I just know, hey, like, is life heavy right now? Yeah, it's heavy. And being able to admit to it, and being able to just have a little bit more introspection and mindfulness around that topic and that element, that alone has relieved me of so many issues that maybe would have lasted a day or a couple of days, and then they dissolve themselves incredibly quickly. So hope that helps. From Stella, my cat's name is Stella, if I've ever talked about this. Zoe's name was actually almost Stella, but we named our cat that. So pelvic floor issues, kind of the same as all this stuff. There are a ton of muscles in the pelvic floor, and any muscle in the body can be subjected to TMS, just like any sort of a tendon, just like any sort of a nerve. But we're talking about muscle tissue, which is definitely the most simple of all this stuff. There's tension there. There's a lack of oxygen. There's kind of depends on what side of the coin or what side of the theory it is that you circle on. But even if we were to say it's just neuroplastic pain and that's it, ultimately there's a conditioning element that is here, and that's what's going on. Your body expects your pelvic floor muscles to be tight. Therefore, your pelvic floor muscles will be tight and give you different sensations. Your brain is misinterpreting those sensations as something negative and something that should hurt. So thus you hurt. So really being able to lean into those, this is where somatic tracking can be of great use to you, and imagining those pelvic floor muscles, and you're just observing. You're just observing. You're not trying to solve the problem. You're just observing, because if we see a tiger out in the wild and we no sell it, is what I like to say, we no sell it and we just look at that tiger, the tiger's not a threat to us. If we run and try and get away, that's fight or flight. Our body's going to continue doing it. So no sell is the whole idea. Maybe I'll do a podcast on the concept of no sell at some point. Being stuck in a stress, this one is from Diane. Being stuck in a stressful situation and still find a way to deal with your mind-body symptoms. For instance, stuck in a job you can't leave, a relationship you can't leave. There are many different scenarios. So again, just leaning in and understanding that those things are hard. Life is hard. Relationships are hard. I think in most cases, these are things that you don't even have to change. If you can lean into, yeah, my job really, really sucks, but I also kind of like this job or elements of this job. If it's a relationship where there's abuse going on, that's an entirely different thing, and you should absolutely get out. But I think ultimately everybody has relationships that have elements that they really, really like and elements that they don't really like. I think that the whole element of, I think largely stress deals with this rumination that people do a lot of times. So you sit there and you kind of, you go back and forth, I'm stuck in this job, I can't leave this job, I hate this job, this job's kind of good, right? It's the gray area. People do okay in black and white scenarios. but it's that gray which makes up like 85% of the human existence. The gray is really where I feel like a lot of this pain occurs for people. This is the last one from Linnea. Difference between legit pain from serious exercise versus TMS pain. I'm a runner and question different pain, struggling to sort out pain I need to address with strength training to deal with imbalances versus TMS. So here's what I will say. Without a kinesiology degree or a exercise physiology degree, here's my understanding of the of this particular question, which is, how do I discern between legit pain from serious exercise or TMS pain? You talk about being a runner, muscle imbalances, all that. I believe this to be true, that pain in itself is a TMS thing. Exhaustion from working out, meaning I am trying to do 100 squats and I can only do 96 of those squats. To me, that is it's a training deficiency most likely, where, hey, I just need to get stronger in this thing, like volume basically based. But in terms of pain, I think that's for the most part a TMS thing, because I don't know if muscle imbalances even exist. It was something that I was told for a long time, especially about thoracic outlet syndrome, which was kind of my predominant diagnosis. I don't think that imbalances are really a thing. I think that it's sort of a sexy thing. So a few years ago, I don't know if this is even still a largely talked about thing, but there was something called upper cross syndrome and there was something called lower cross syndrome, where the whole idea is that you're imbalanced. Maybe your abs are weak and your glutes are tight and your shoulders are tight and your traps are tight and your pecs are weak or whatever the case is. And that was used as an explanation by a lot of chiropractors on YouTube that would sell their $139 program to teach you about these muscle imbalances, and then ultimately you'd buy them and then you wouldn't get any better, and then they would just keep making money, and that's all the case. So I don't know if that's still all the rage, but in the years since, I've just, you know, I've thought about this so much where I'm like, I don't think muscle imbalances are a thing. I just don't. I think strength training is a thing. I think that, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it unilateral? Basically, where you would, like, I do Bulgarian split squats was a part of my program in the first 4 to 6 weeks of the weightlifting program I'm on right now. I feel like they had tremendous benefit. And I feel like it did make both of my legs maybe equally as strong or equally as agile or whatever. But I only felt that perceived weakness when I was doing the individual legs exercises. I never noticed it when I was doing squats with two legs at a time. So maybe there's a case to be made in that sense that small levels of muscle imbalances could exist, but I don't think in any way, shape, or form that they cause pain, are a producer of pain, a perpetuator of pain, or a continuator of pain, if that's even a word. So those are some things to think about. I love this kind of stuff, though, and I'd be super curious whenever I interview Jim Prusak again or any other PT that's involved in this to talk about muscle imbalances specifically, because I think it is really interesting. I think it's way overused in physical medicine and it's way overused in athletics as it relates to pain. I think that working out individual muscle groups, particularly on opposing parts of the body, whatever, definitely has its place, but only in the sense of talking about bodybuilding and just further building strength, but not as a pain preventer or a way to get rid of it. So I hope everybody had a great week. So next week's episode is actually going to air early because in the United States, there's the Thanksgiving holiday, which is coming up on Thursday. And then Wednesday, people may or may not be traveling. So I'm probably going to air next week's episode on either Monday or Tuesday, and then we'll be back to Wednesday or Thursday the following week. So hope everybody has a great rest of the week, and I will talk to you later.